Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
In March of 2020, hospitals and care homes imposed visitor restrictions to help with infection control during COVID. But some advocacy groups say that a wide variety of visitor restrictions remain in place today, including visiting by appointment, shorter times for visits, allowing just one family member to visit, or having to get agreement from hospital staff for any visits to take place. The advocacy group Care Champions wants to see restrictions lifted and better access to hospitals for families and carers. And Brian O'Connell has been looking at all of this for us. And Brian, there's a wide variance, isn't there?
Yes, that is the issue. Niamh Griffin in the Irish Examiner has done a lot of work on this story. And as you said, there was an understanding of the need for restrictions during the height of COVID. But over 2 years on, really, there's a real variance, as you said, depending on which hospitals your family member is in, to the kind of visitor access that's allowed. For example, and these restrictions were just updated in the past half hour, the CUH in Cork is allowing visits now from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8 p.m., just one visitor per patient. University Hospital Kerry patients are now allowed 3 visits per week. University Hospital Waterford visits between 2 and 4. Outside of that, you have to arrange a visit with a ward manager. And then in the Mercy Hospital in Cork as well, just one visitor per patient, limited to half an hour.
And what that could mean in practice is that sometimes families just, they might have to limit their access to their loved ones.
Absolutely. And I suppose everyone knows staff are hugely overworked, and sometimes it can come down to what member of staff a family is able to contact and whether they can get that agreement in place. And advocates would say this is in contrast to Northern Ireland, for example, where care advocates are appointed and they're allowed in quite a lot more. We'll come back to that idea because I want to bring you one family's experience, Claire. This woman I spoke to, her grandfather was moved from a nursing home to hospital at the end of August. He did have a number of underlying issues and his condition then deteriorated rapidly, unfortunately. She doesn't want to use her name or say where exactly he was, but this is some of their experience.
He was admitted into A&E and he was quite unwell. I rang the hospital and they said that he can't come up because COVID restrictions and everything. We don't have anybody in the emergency department. Around 7:45, a lovely nurse called me and she said that she was clocking off for the night, but that she didn't think my granddad was going to make it through the night, that he was really unwell. The doctors had been in with him and they were working on him. So she said that I could come up and sit with him. So that's what I done that night. I went up and I spent 2 hours in the A&E department, and that's the last time I saw him alive. When I was leaving, they told me that he had turned a corner, and then I rang the next morning and, you know, he didn't have a great night. His oxygen levels had had dropped again. So he was brought to the ward and I asked, could I come up? And they said, no, I couldn't.
So how long after that did he die?
He died on the 2nd of September and I had been up to the hospital. I was turned away.
And can you understand from the hospital's point of view, obviously, the restrictions are in place to limit infection.
Oh yeah, but it was just on the ward that he was on. The rest of the hospital was opened up. The ward that he was on was a restricted, that's the only place they had a bed for him.
Were they offering you any access to that ward to see your granddad? No.
Nothing. No. And like, he wasn't able to ring me near the end. The last time I spoke to him, he said, I can't hold the phone. And I rang the nurse's station and I said, will somebody please go into my granddad and let him ring me or FaceTime me, because he was upset. He was crying. You could hear by him. And I never got to speak to him again.
So unfortunately, Claire, her grandfather died without any family member present. But she did tell me she took solace from the fact one of the nursing staff was with her grandfather throughout that time. Now, they had been told visits were at the discretion of particular ward managers and staff. And in their case, they weren't able to secure access because, as she said, her grandfather had been placed on an isolation ward because of space limitations elsewhere. What her family are calling for now is better communication and policies to ensure any other family doesn't have to endure this.
they actually sent the Gardaí to my house when he passed away because they couldn't get me on the phone. Mm-hmm. The Gardaí came and told me I needed to make my way very quickly to the hospital. Mm-hmm. So I done that. And when I got there, I was roaring and crying. And I just kept saying to the nurse, why did you stop me seeing him? It depends on who you're talking to. It's the look of the draw. She was so lovely, the nurse. And I said to her, please don't let this happen to anybody in the family. Do you know, put someone of my granddad's age in their 80s. They should be welcoming their families with open arms because they know that they haven't got an awful lot of time left on the earth. They shouldn't be putting up barriers.
And we all understand that hospitals have to control infection and they have to have...
Of course.
There's patient rights, there's family rights, isn't there?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I felt I had no rights whatsoever. Some of the nurses now were fantastic, but others were just... You could hear the frustration in their voices. They're overworked. They're probably dealing with 4 or 5 sick patients. And then they have a family member ringing, looking about so-and-so. Mm. I can understand how annoying that must be. But for us, the other end, when someone you love is in hospital and you've heard only 24 hours before this that they're kind of, it's end of life care that they're approaching, you know, that's very hard. And there needs to be somebody there in the middle to liaise with the family and not to be left with the nurses. I would be asking for them to issue really clear guidance for nurses in the hospital that if someone is very sick and is deemed towards end of life care, that, you know, the family shouldn't even need to ask. It should be just a given.
So many families have gone through that, Brian, and are still going through it now. And you gave us some detail of the Munster hospitals earlier. What about elsewhere in the country?
Yes, all this information is available on the HSE website. St James's, for example, will facilitate visiting in pre-arranged circumstances only. Beaumont, one visitor per patient allowed, and children under the age of 16 not permitted to visit except in exceptional circumstances. End-of-life care and compassionate visiting only allowed at the discretion of the clinical nurse manager in Beaumont. And University Hospital Limerick, one of the busiest in the country, visiting hours 2 to 4, 6 to 8 every day, but these visits must be booked through an online booking system. And then finally, I had a look at the Midland Regional Hospital in Tullamore. All inpatient visits must be arranged in advance with clinical nurse managers or nurses in charge of wards. The visits there, half 2 to 4, half 6 to 8. Patients may receive 4 visits each week and only one person again may attend. The visits are half an hour.
So there's a big difference between some of those hospitals, and you said an advocacy group is calling for changes to all of this.
The group is Care Champions and they want to see greater access to hospitals for visitors. I spoke to Emer Fitzgerald from their organisation. Now, she herself was prompted to get involved in this issue when her own mum died during a COVID outbreak, and she felt this should not still be happening in 2022 where visits are restricted. She also wants to see some policies in operation which are in hospitals in Northern Ireland, as I said earlier, and she wants those introduced here too.
Up until very recently, there were various guidelines introduced. Therein lies the problem, that they have been only guidelines, and then it was up to each organisation to interpret those as they saw fit. But with a little bit of creativity and foresight, that we can actually overcome a lot of these problems, as has been the case in the North, where they have introduced a care partner situation, whereby one family member is allocated or is nominated and acts as an ongoing, always available, always accessible care partner. So irrespective of lockdowns, irrespective of any restrictions, at least one person. We're not looking for a whole posse of people to be allowed in and out. That obviously, at times of restrictions, is not possible, it is not practical. I know last week I just had a call from somebody who is still being refused visits point blankly, and that is not supposed to be the case. I know I was going to visit somebody in a hospital very recently, and the only visiting was from 5:30 to 6:30 in the evening, and then everybody was corralled together and then let loose on the hospital for one solid hour. Now, I don't think that's very good practice. And in some hospitals and some nursing homes, they're still operating on an appointment system. And if the appointments are all full for that particular day, that's tough. You've lost your slot and you just have to wait and beg for an appointment on a different day. So it's very much at the discretion of the organisation.
So what are you calling for?
At the moment, there is supposed to be no visiting restrictions. Now, we can appreciate that there will be or there may be a time, combined flu and COVID pandemic, that we may actually have to introduce a certain element of restriction, but that this should be across the board. Everyone should be basically playing by the same rules.
So that's Eimear Fitzgerald. And you asked the HSE for comment, Brian.
Yes, I asked the HSE, would we look at a care advocate as they have in Northern Ireland? Now, I didn't get a commitment on that, but they did tell me each hospital carries out local risk assessment in relation to infection prevention and control issues. And then they gave me a sort of a breakdown as to how a hospital will come up with their policies. So they'll balance the risk of introduction of COVID-19 or any other infectious disease, really, by people accessing the hospital. And then they'll ensure that patients who need the support of a partner, a nominated support partner, are a member of their family. So that's the sort of balance they're trying to get right. If there are limitations on access, if they're considered, they feel that these visitor restrictions should be reviewed quite regularly. And then they went into detail about the kinds of hygiene, mask use and so on that visitors need to comply with. And obviously, if anybody has any kind of symptoms at all, they should stay well away from hospitals.
Brian, thank you very much. Brian O'Connell there. And this listener says, my dad is in hospital in the southwest. The advice was no weekend visits without appointment. The reason given was not enough cleaners over the weekend. All his children live on the east coast. We did get access, but it's very hard on families and on patients. Connection is vital for optimum healing. That message into 5155.